You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to You Can't Outrun the Fork. I am your host, Brett Bittner. You Can't Outrun the Fork examines healthy eating habits to break you out of the standard American diet and the problems that accompany it. We offer you a perspective on what it means to eat in a healthy manner from a variety of options and how we can fix our health by thinking about food differently. While I have an affinity for the ketogenic diet because it works for me, we will be examining a lot of other healthy eating options. Please be sure to rate and review us in iTunes, like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and subscribe using your favorite podcast catcher. You can always catch the latest shows at can'toutrunthefork.com. We are often taking your questions, comments, show ideas, and suggested guests via email at show@can'toutrunthefork.com. If you are new to the program, we do keep things short compared to other things on the network, usually only lasting about 45 minutes. If this particular episode isn't your cup of tea, I suggest trying some of the others in the feed. This show is for adults interested in avoiding the health issues that plague the standard American diet. However, I am not a doctor, nor do I play one on this podcast. The conversations within are not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, they are a reflection of the experience of the host and guests, unless otherwise noted. Enjoy!
Other kids are starving in Japan, so eat it. Just eat it.
Welcome back to another episode of You Can't Outrun the Fork. This is episode number 6. After the success of last week's questions episode, I thought it would probably be a great idea to go ahead and follow that up with a Keto Questions 2, and this one is going to be themed about food and about the things that I eat and the things that a lot of ketoers eat, and it seems like that's probably one of the most prevalent questions that I get when I talk to somebody about the way that I eat is, well, what is it that you do eat? So that's how we're going to kick this off is, what do you eat? It's something that we talked about in the very first episode with Paul when we were talking about why I adopted a ketogenic way of eating. And so we're going to get started with the question that I answer probably most frequently to anybody that I talk to about keto, and that's, what do you eat? I love bacon. I eat bacon all the time. I love bacon and eggs. I love crumbled bacon as part of a salad. I love bacon added to pretty much anything. I love bacon on burgers. So bacon is probably the most frequently consumed food for me since I adopted this way of eating almost a year ago. One of the things that goes hand in hand with bacon is eggs. I cook a lot of eggs. In fact, the other day I had 9 in the course of a day. I had 5 earlier when I cooked it with bacon, and for a snack later on, I had 4 more. I like to scramble them. I love mild cheddar cheese, so I'll make sure that there's plenty of mild cheddar cheese. And I've also found that I really like Frank's Red Hot on a lot of things. But I really like it on some scrambled eggs with cheese and add a little bit of bacon with that. I can eat that meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack. I can eat that anytime. I can't tell you how many times I've had bacon and eggs for dinner, or as my lone meal that day is just, you know, 5 or 6 slices of bacon, 4 or 5 scrambled eggs with cheese and Frank's Red Hot. That's probably that meal right there is probably the most frequently consumed meal by me. I also love burgers. I've loved burgers for a very long time. Ground beef is fantastic in that there's a pretty high fat content. There's little to no carbs depending on condiments and, you know, how the meat is prepared. So lots of burgers without bun. Man, I can go pretty much anywhere. Like, that's a staple. Almost any place I can go to have a meal when I'm eating out, burger, no bun. If I can't find anything else on the menu that's going to work for me, that's going to be my keto-friendly meal, is a burger with no bun. One of the other ones that you can do is tacos. Pretty much any way that they are prepared, any kind of filling, they're going to work for you. The key is making sure that there's no shell, making sure that you don't have any crazy sauces or anything added to them that has a lot of sugar or, you know, otherwise has carbs or has a cornstarch in it or anything like that. Tacos no shell are something that I absolutely love. I actually have my own seasoning that I make at home. I don't even have to buy the Old El Paso or the Ortega prepared seasoning. I have my own, and you can just Google taco seasoning recipe, and it'll actually say the very first time you make it, you'll probably need to make a pretty decent investment in your spices if you don't already have them, but you can make for a really good taco seasoning yourself. And then it'll end up being a lot cheaper for you when you do make tacos going forward. Again, that's without a shell, so that's essentially a taco salad without the shell for that as well. It's in a bowl, putting hot sauce on it, making sure that you have cheese, lettuce. Those are some fantastic things to add there. Plenty of ways that you can prepare tacos that you're never going to get bored with that. Some other main staples of what I eat. I love broccoli. I always have. The best part now is I can load it up with cheese, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it with the way that I eat. I love asparagus. I like cauliflower. In fact, there are a lot of ways that you can replace some of the things that you are going to, quote, miss with cauliflower. You can mash cauliflower to replace mashed potatoes. You can actually make a cauliflower crust pizza. There are a lot of things that you can do with cauliflower that can make it so that you're not, quote, missing things that you feel like you might have otherwise. I love sausage. I love German sausage. I love Polish sausage. I love Italian sausage. I love Mexican sausage. It's so delicious, and that's something that is really awesome that a keto eater can make sure that they have plenty of fat, making sure they're hitting their protein macros, and there's almost no carbs in a lot of the sausages out there. Going hand in hand with that, probably one of the best snack foods out there is pork rinds. They're flavored, they're plain, you can dress them up, you can use them to get some crunch. You know, you feel like you might be missing crunch when you don't have corn chips, when you don't have potato chips, those things that kind of go away when you're eating keto. This is a way for you to replace that crunch that you feel like you might be missing. I eat a lot of cheese. I put cheese on everything. I put hot sauce on a lot of things now. But cheese is something that I make sure that I put on almost everything that I have. It goes in my eggs. It goes on my burgers. It goes in my tacos. It goes on my broccoli. There's a lot that you can do. In fact, I've actually made what I call cheesy pork rind nachos, which is just kind of a thing that I threw together in the microwave where I melt some cheese over some pork rinds and put some bacon bits on top and maybe some sour cream. And I don't feel like I've ever missed nachos when I've had that. So that's something that you can throw together that's really good, keeps you staying keto friendly. I love salmon. I am a big fan of grilled salmon. I like tuna as well. Both of those fishes have a lot of good fat for you. The other thing to keep in mind as you're looking for different things to eat is there are a ton of awesome resources out there that have some keto-friendly recipes. I've been sharing a lot on the Facebook page of The Diet Doctor at dietdoctor.com. Somebody who has talked about low carb for a really long time. He's got a lot of great resources about how you get started, the kind of foods you can eat, the kinds of food you should avoid. But one of the things that they're doing on that site now is they actually have brought someone in to create keto-friendly recipes for a lot of the different things that you feel like you're going to, quote, miss. I've made their keto-friendly pizza. I've made it probably 4 or 5 times. I've made it for other people who were absolutely amazed that this is something that I can eat in a way that I have lost, you know, the tremendous amount of weight that I have, the 75 pounds that I've lost, that I'm keeping my blood sugar under control. They're seeing that I can eat pizza this way, and it's absolutely shocking to a lot of them. I made the Diet Doctor pizza, and I'll make sure that I post the recipe in the description for this episode for people who might be interested. I've also altered that recipe for myself to make it, to try different things. I actually had a white pizza for dinner last night using the same crust that this one does, but instead of using a tomato paste or tomato sauce, I actually use an Alfredo mixed with some olive oil to use as a base. For the pizza, I posted a photo of it on the Instagram for Thursday, October the 19th. For those of you who don't necessarily listen to this straight away, so you can go back and look on the Instagram back in October of 2017. On October the 19th, I showed the white keto pizza that I made. It was absolutely delicious. Last weekend, I made keto fried chicken, where you use pork rinds and cheese for the breading. You're going to use like an egg wash for it, you know, to help keep the pork rinds and the cheese attached to the fried chicken breast. You throw it in a pan, you fry it up. It's absolutely wonderful. Had a lot of crunch to it. Tasted delicious. One of the things that we did with that when we made that last Sunday, we had mashed cauliflower. I talked about how cauliflower can be used as a substitute for a lot of things. We had mashed cauliflower to replace mashed potatoes. We also did a cheesy bread thing that was keto friendly. It's a mix by Diabetic Kitchen using sunflower flour. And it made for some really, really good mini muffin-like cheesy bread. And I think I had 8. It made 24, and I think I had 8 because they were just that good. And so there are a lot of keto-friendly recipes out there. In addition to kind of keeping with what you assume that you eat, a lot of meat, a lot of cheese, a lot of eggs, you know, and green vegetables. So the other thing that I want to talk about with the what do you eat is, and I haven't tried it, I've only heard about it, I've seen it advertised, is the Keto Fridge, which is one of those meal delivery services like Blue Apron, where they send you all the ingredients, you cook it up in 30 to 45 minutes, and boom, you've got a meal. Well, the thing that's different about Keto Fridge is they have a lot of, they're focused on keto-friendly meals. So it's not like you're going to have to search through a whole bunch of different choices and read a whole bunch of labels. These are people who are preparing stuff for you because they already know that you are eating keto. So it's a way that you can just jump right in. If you're somebody who's going to need somebody to do a lot of the prep work for you, and all you've got to do is throw it in a pan or throw it in the oven or mix a couple things together and boom, you've got dinner. That's something that you might want to consider. Again, I haven't tried it. I'm not getting paid to talk about it. I've only heard about it. But if there's anybody out there that does try it, and you know, tell us what it's all about. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. So the next question that I got was about the best keto recipes. Well, I talked a little bit about those with the keto pizza, the keto fried chicken. Those were two that I was really anxious to try. There are a lot out there that are, you know, you just look up low carb recipes for a lot of these things and you're going to find them. I talked about making tacos without the shell. I talked about burgers. One of the burgers that I like to make that I could eat with no bun before I adopted a keto way of eating is something called Leela's Burgers, Leela's. It goes back to an episode of Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares where he was trying to save this burger place in California. Unfortunately, they went under. But you take a look at how you make those burger patties. They are absolutely wonderful, and I could totally have eaten them without bacon, without cheese, without a bun before I was eating keto. Now they're absolutely awesome. All the condiments are included in the mixture that you make. I use HFCS free ketchup. That's probably got the most carbs of anything that's added to it. There are eggs, Worcestershire sauce, there are chopped onions. There might be, you know, a few, there are going to be a few carbs in the onions. There's Dijon mustard, but you got a lot of opportunities there for a great meal. Very low carb. Again, no bun. Add cheese, add bacon, add whatever toppings that you're normally wanting on a burger. But that's one of my favorite keto recipes. That was a keto recipe for me before I ate this way. Now I just save the money on the bun. So in the group that we have, that we've created on Facebook, and you know, you search for us on Facebook for You Can't Outrun the Fork, we actually have a discussion group. And one of the questions that came through there was about keto junk food. When you have cravings, or you've got to eat keto on the go, you got to take snacks with you, or you're going on the road, or whatever it is, some of the junk food, quote junk food, that comes to mind. For me, the first thing that comes to mind is pork rinds. They're easy to find. There's no prep. I mean, you just eat them right out of the bag. No carbs. Just make sure that you're reading the label to make sure that there are no added sugars that might be hidden in there in the flavorings and things like that. Usually, I think a serving, it has one carb tops. I know that there are some awesome barbecue flavors out there. There are some awesome hot and spicy flavors out there. And even plain ones are really good. And I'm going to share with you one of the things that I really like, that has been fantastic for me when it comes to needing a sweet tooth in just a second. But with the pork rinds, it helps you with the crunch that you feel like you might be missing in the absence of tortilla chips or, you know, some of the potato chips that you no longer have. And so that crunch can be something that you feel like you're missing, and the pork rinds can come in and they can help you with that. I've actually made pork rind nachos, where I'll melt some cheese over the top. I'll crumble some bacon. I'll pretty much anything that you can put on nachos. Maybe crumble some brown some ground beef and put it on top. Shred some chicken, put it on top. So basically, I make pork rind nachos. They're just like nachos, but instead of tortilla chips, you're using pork rinds. You get the crunch. It's absolutely wonderful. They're a nice conveyance to bring all those toppings into your mouth instead of a tortilla chip. And for a ketoer, it's going to be way better for you than trying to, you know, fit it all in on three or four chips if that's what you're trying to do. Now, when you're talking about on the go, the easiest thing for me is when I'm thinking about a road trip and I'm going to have to stop at a convenience store and I'm going to want to get something that I can just grab and go. You've got beef sticks and beef jerky. You've got Slim Jims, Jack Links. You know, you've got a whole bunch of these people who are now putting stuff out. Of course, you got to make sure by reading the label that there isn't a whole bunch of added sugar to these. But they are great on-the-go snacks for you. And, you know, pretty much every upper end and even some of the lower end convenience stores have sausage and hot dogs. Just get it without the bun if you're really trying to get something on the go and you need something hot. That's a great way to do it. Based on prep or a very little prep, you can scramble up some eggs. Takes only a couple of minutes to do that. You can put some bacon in the oven, forget about it for 10, 15 minutes, come back and boom, you've got bacon that's cooked for you. It required very little effort. Some of the other things that I see that I've seen out that I've tried that I like for snacking, there are cheese wisps that are out there. They're Parmesan and cheddar cheese wisps. I've gotten them from Costco. Basically, it's kind of like a baked cheese, and you have moon cheese, which is a brand of essentially like popped, it's like popcorn, but it's cheese. It's absolutely wonderful. Those are some fantastic snack ideas. I told you that I would bring up what you can do for a sweet tooth. You know, once the cravings kind of pass, you aren't wanting red velvet cake anymore. You aren't wanting cupcakes anymore. You aren't wanting cookies anymore. But every once in a while, you'll still have a little inkling that you need something sweet. And something that I like that has worked out very well for me is peanut butter. I like the Peter Pan brand. It has the lowest sugar. And that's something that really does give me, as a moderator, something that I can have that's a little bit sweet. It's got lots of fat, very delicious. And I mentioned earlier when I was talking about the pork rinds, and it didn't sound good to me at first, but I was kind of in a desperate situation where I wanted to try something to add to the peanut butter. I actually dipped pork rinds in peanut butter. And it was absolutely wonderful. It doesn't sound like it. I know that it doesn't sound like it's going to be good, but trust me, it is. And so that's something that I like to have. One of the other things from a junk food perspective or a treat perspective, especially for the moderators among us, probably not so much for the abstainers, the people who absolutely cannot get on that train because that train is never going to stop. If they get started on it, but take a look at Halo Top ice cream. They have a lot of sugar alcohol in it. They have a little bit of sugar in it. It's going to give you the satisfaction of that sweet tooth if you have the carbs to spare, and still kind of hit your macros. So those are some of the things from a junk food perspective. One of the other things that I forgot for an on-the-go kind of a thing is you're going to want to make sure that you have peanuts. Make sure you're not getting ones that have added sugar, of course, but there are a lot of flavored peanuts, hot, barbecue, and even just regular dry roasted peanuts that aren't sweet, but they're a nice snack when you're on the go and you're trying to find something at the convenience store instead of reaching for the Skittles or the Sweet Tarts or the M&Ms or the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Whatever it is, try the peanuts, try some of the nuts, the cashews, the pistachios, the almonds. Those are things that are going to be nice and high in the fat count, and they're going to be very low carb or no carb for you for a snack food for on the go. Now, I have mentioned that I am a lazy ketoer. And so one of the other questions that we had was, what can you do for eating out, especially fast food? Quick service. All right. My favorite restaurant, fast food restaurant, has always been Chick-fil-A. They have a fantastic salad that I like to get, that I make a few modifications to make it even more keto-friendly than it is. Traditionally speaking, but it's the spicy Southwest salad. I get it with the avocado lime dressing. I have them remove the corn. I have them remove the beans and the tomatoes. I have them add extra cheese, and I have them add bacon to it. And I use the little seeds, the pepitas that they include with it. I give them back the tortilla strips, but I use the pepitas. The avocado lime ranch has got a ton of fat, so you're going to knock that out of the park when it comes to trying to meet your macros. And as a lazy ketoer, it is like it's a fantastic meal, and that salad is so filling. And yes, I know Chick-fil-A uses MSG. Yes, I know that they put a little bit of sugar in the spices that they cook, or that they have for the chicken, both the fried and the grilled varieties, but it is very small, very insignificant. That salad is absolutely delicious. I talked about burgers with no bun. Five Guys is a great place to go and get a burger without a bun. They'll put it in a tray for you. They'll wrap it in lettuce for you. They'll do any of their burgers that way. And again, you can get a burger from pretty much anywhere, as long as they're not slathering it in a really sweet sauce, as long as you're not eating the bun, and as long as you're not going crazy with some of the condiments, especially the ketchup. you're going to do very well with a burger without the bun. One of the places that has kind of come around in the quick service fast food realm with some items that I'm very interested in and has become a staple for me is Taco Bell. You can get any taco without the shell. Just have them put it in a bowl. Or if you do like I do, run through the drive-thru, come home, put it in a bowl yourself, mix it up. I like to add cheese to it when I bring it home. And this is a promotional thing that I've seen for the last couple of weeks with Taco Bell, and it's a breakfast item. It's the Naked Egg Taco. Make sure you get it without potatoes. This is something that looks to be absolutely awesome. Very low carb. You're going to get a lot of protein out of it. You're going to get some fat out of it. It's going to be great for a keto way of eating. That said, one of the best meals to have as a ketoer is breakfast and brunch. You're able to get so much without bread for breakfast and brunch. You've got eggs, you've got bacon, you've got sausage, you've got tons of breakfast meats, you've got ham. You've got an opportunity at a lot of places that you can eat out. Waffle House is open 24/7, 365. They serve breakfast every single one of those hours. Cracker Barrel serves breakfast every hour that they're open. If you're a Denny's person, awesome. They serve breakfast every hour that they're open, and I'm pretty sure they're another 24/7, 365. It's not a place that I eat, but it's an option for you. Breakfast food is super, super keto-friendly, generally speaking, because you're not putting it on a bun for the most part. Make sure you don't get the toast. Make sure you don't get the fruit. Make sure you don't get the oatmeal. You're sticking to the meat and the eggs. You're going to have a really good keto-friendly meal. And a lot of these places, you can get breakfast anytime. One of the other places that I like to go, and it's in the quick service realm, not necessarily fast food, but is Boston Market. Their roasted and grilled meat is really good. They've got an awesome cream spinach. Their vegetable medley is awesome. Just make sure that you're kind of pushing the carrots off to the side because they're going to be a little too sweet for you. But that's another place, as a lazy ketoer, that you can go grab something out to eat so you're not spending your life having to plan meals and having to cook on your own. It's something that you can go out and, you know, these are some of the places where you can suggest when your friends are saying, hey, let's go get X, Y, or Z. Oh, wait, can you eat there? These are some of the places that you can eat. You can eat a Chick-fil-A. You can eat at Five Guys or any burger place. Just make sure you get it without the bun. Boston Market, Taco Bell, Cracker Barrel, Denny's, Waffle House. Those are a bunch of places that you have an opportunity to eat keto, eat out. So that you're, you know, there are so many people who think that keto is just so, there's, it's so much work because you've got to plan all of your meals. This is an opportunity for you to not have to plan your meals, to go and eat out. And even in the fast food world, some of the traditionally most unhealthy food, you're going to have the opportunity to eat out, eat fast food, and stay keto. So one of the other questions that was asked, and this was again in the group, the discussion group that we have through the Facebook page is, have you ever considered vegetarian keto, or have I ever tried being vegan or vegetarian? Now, the people that know me well know that I love meat. I could probably never give up bacon, and it's super lucky for me that it is one of the most perfect keto foods. In fact, about 6 months or so ago, I did what I called a bacon or the bacon challenge for the month of March 2017. And in the month of March 2017, I strived to have bacon at every meal. Now, when you cook bacon and eggs as much as I do, that's pretty easy. When you ask them to add bacon to everything you get at Taco Bell and, you know, pour it into a bowl, it makes it still pretty easy. But I think that for that month, there were two or three meals where I did not have bacon. But it was a fantastic challenge. So bacon is a huge part of, the way that I eat. It's one of the things that attracted me to keto was that I wasn't going to have to give up some of the things that I really liked. Now, have I ever considered vegetarian keto? Not really. Just because I know what I can and can't eat. And I know that meat makes up a lot of that. But I know that there are vegetarian keto eaters. It means that you're going to have to get your fat from butter, probably ovo-lacto vegetarians. But there is a possibility that you could do it without that. In fact, I know in one of the discussion groups, one of the admins, not my discussion group, but one of the keto discussion groups on Facebook, one of the admins is a vegan ketoer, and I was just amazed. I couldn't, like, with all the things that they have to limit to make that work, I imagine that it's a lot of nuts and it's a lot of vegetables. You know, not having butter, not having cheese, man, that's going to be tough. But I, you know, it's totally possible. I have actually eaten a vegetarian diet. I did it in college for about a month and a half. Somebody challenged me, said that I couldn't do it for Lent. And so I went 47 days. I had a lot of Taco Bell, replacing a lot of the meat with beans. So I have been a vegetarian for about a month and a half. Again, it was a challenge. It's probably not something that I would do again, but it was definitely interesting to see all of the different ways that I could still, you know, enjoy food and eat a vegetarian way. I don't know that I could do it long term. That month and a half was really tough. So the last question that we're going to cover in this episode is one from my friend, Harry Price. And if you're a listener to the We Are Libertarians Network, you've probably heard him on the Tuesday show that happens now. He's co-hosted on a couple Thursdays as well. He asked, and he's recently adopted keto, he and his wife, after they had their baby Gunther, if you've heard him talk about her on the podcast. They have recently adopted keto. And so what he asked was, what's a cheat like for me? So I've talked about rare and appropriate. I talked about that with Paul. Early on, I was super strict and I had very, very few cheats. I had very few slip-ups. As I've kind of gotten where my blood sugar is normal for a non-diabetic, where I have, you know, I've kind of been maintaining the same weight since about May of this year. A quote cheat has probably happened more frequently now that I'm in a maintenance phase and I'm not necessarily in let's get your blood sugar under control, let's get the weight down. You know, so a cheat for me is I love the Halo Top ice cream. That's fantastic. Every once in a while, you know, there was an afternoon after a night of a lot of drinking that I just needed some carbs to soak up the alcohol the next day, feeling a little dehydrated. And so I had pizza. You know, there are a couple treats here and there that I like to have. On October 27th, it's T2D Day, which is the anniversary of me being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I'll do something similar to what I did after the day that I went to the doctor and he took me off of all of my medicine. And it's to eat and drink all the terrible things. And by eat and drink all the terrible things, I mean I will literally go and eat and drink all of the terrible things that I have abstained from in my normal way of eating. It means that I'll drink beer. It means that I'll have a cocktail. It means that I'll eat pizza. It means that I'll have tater tots. Again, this isn't happening every single meal. Obviously, I wouldn't be eating keto if this were happening every single meal. But the occasional rare and appropriate, either, and I try to tie it to celebrations or once-in-a-lifetime things where I'm just not going to have an opportunity to do this again, or it's a very special occasion. So I try to keep it as rare as possible and as appropriate to the situation as possible. Again, that's something that when I was reading Penn's book, Presto, that was one of the things he talked about after he lost over 100 pounds. You know, the way that he eats is a crazy vegan diet. But then, you know, he has these rare and appropriate celebrations. When his daughter, when his kids ask him to go and have ice cream, he's going to have ice cream. He's not going to have ice cream every day, but he's going to go and he's going to have ice cream. So when he has a rare and appropriate moment, he will stray from his normal way of eating. That's kind of what I'm doing too. I'm probably less rare and less appropriate with the quote cheats now that I am in a position where it's more of a maintenance thing for me and not so much getting the blood sugar down to a normal level, getting off meds. You know, that isn't the focus for me as much anymore. So I'm probably a little freer than I as strict as I was in the very beginning, when I was trying to get the weight off, I was trying to get off the meds. And actually this reminds me of another one that I'm going to throw in as a, I guess we'll call it a bonus question. And that's, what do you drink? I drink water almost all the time. And I try to drink 4 liters of water every single day. That's about 130 ounces of water every single day. And that's just a way to stay hydrated. That's a way to make sure that things are flowing well through me. That is to make sure that that is something that I want to make, because I'm not drinking anything else anymore. I'm no longer drinking sweet tea, no longer drinking soda. So those are the things that for me, I have to drink something, and I drink a lot of something. I always have. I've always been very thirsty. I've always been somebody who can, you know, drink. You know, back in the day, it was the Big Gulp from 7-Eleven, and it would be a big gulp of soda, Mellow Yellow, Mountain Dew, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, those things when I was growing up. Some of the things that, you know, probably contributed to the type 2 diabetes diagnosis with the way that I was eating and drinking back then. Those are the things that I no longer have. Water is the way to go for me. I have never been a coffee drinker until recently. And I have found that there's a drink at Starbucks that I like. It is the vanilla latte. I get it with heavy whipping cream instead of milk. I make sure that they use the sugar-free vanilla syrup. And that is the coffee that I drink. That's probably the only caffeine that I drink is through that coffee every once in a while. Again, never been a coffee drinker until recently. That's something that seems to work for me. Very low carb with the heavy whipping cream. It's pretty high in fat, so it's a nice keto-friendly drink. When it comes to alcoholic drinks, I was a huge craft beer guy. In fact, the day that I was diagnosed, I went to one of my favorite local breweries and said, you know what? All right, this is it. I'm a big IPA guy, big craft beer guy. This is going to be it for me. I've got to find something else to drink. So I went with bourbon. There are a lot of things that you can do. You're going to want to stay away from the rums. You're going to want to stay away from cocktails. You're going to want to stay away from a lot of mixed drinks. Bourbon works for me. I'm a big fan of rye whiskey. And those are the things that I drink on a regular basis, just on the rocks. I don't put any mixers in it. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. I just drink it straight or on the rocks. The best part about it is you become a much cheaper date, and you're not putting all that terrible sugar in with the cocktails that you're drinking. I will rarely and appropriately drink a beer. I usually save that for an IPA. Again, that's a celebration or a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But when it comes to drinking and drinking alcohol, I have pretty much resigned myself to drinking bourbon, drinking the whiskeys, and I've really become a big fan of bourbon. It's definitely something that works for me. It's delicious. And I recently went to a bourbon release party for the first bourbon produced in Northern Kentucky since Prohibition. And I bought one of the very first bottles that they had at the release party last Friday night in Covington, Kentucky. It was a fantastic event. And I'm really glad that I have come around to find that I like bourbon, I like rye, I like whiskey. Not so much on the scotch, but, you know, it's possible that I could come around on that. I used to not want to drink bourbon. So it was certainly an acquired taste. And when you're not drinking all the other stuff, it's way better than nothing at all. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this Keto Questions, the food edition. I want to encourage you guys, if you have feedback for the show, if you have show ideas, if you have guest ideas, if you have questions, send them to me at show@cantoutrunthefork.com. Find us on Facebook at You Can't Outrun the Fork. We're also on Instagram at Can't Outrun the Fork. We have a discussion group that's auxiliary to the main Facebook page where you can ask some of these questions. And it's people that are interested in what we're doing, people that have a vested interest in adopting something that is different from the standard American diet, that very sad way of eating. So please join us on any of the social media networks. If you have a question, again, send it to us at show@cantoutrunthefork.com. And I want to thank you guys once again for listening, and I hope that you have a tremendous day.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at wearelibertarians.com.